Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
It's a pleasure to have back with us on Sports Talk, SC Wild from the Department of Natural Resources, and Major Billy Downer. First chance to catch up with the Major since the Labor Day weekend. So, Major, hope you had a great holiday weekend. Hope things around the state, from the standpoint of your office, went well over Labor Day weekend.
It did. It was a relatively quiet Labor Day weekend from that standpoint, which is a good thing. Again, we know we had every year, and you know, we talked about this before at the, in the last show. When you get dove season coming in, everybody always gets, you know, it's always different. Well, it's not always different. The federal season only allows for doves to come in on the 1st of September, or you know, the first Saturday in September, or Labor Day, whichever one comes first.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, this is the year that Labor Day comes first. The Saturday was not, you know, was not the season this year. Saturday was not the first, so our season opened up on Monday, Labor Day. That's how it always is. And so deer season opened up, of course, on the first, which was a Sunday. It opened up when it opened up. You know, we used to have years ago, people could remember, when things open or closed on a Sunday, it always gave you kind of an extra day before, extra day after. But now, whatever day the season opens, that's when it opens. Whatever day it closes, whatever day it falls, January 1st, that's the closing of deer season. So a lot of the state right now is open for deer season. Game zones 3 and 4 open for gun season right now. Dove season open across the state. We're into our second week of that. Again, the big news on dove season this year was there was no morning shoot ban the first couple of days of the season. You were able to shoot all day long, first time in years that we could do that. But that is a selection that our department chose within the federal framework. And so our season now, we were open from the morning, first morning of Labor Day, from you know 30 minutes before sunrise until sunset. Mm. That is the season. And it will continue on for the next few weekends. Of course, you know, again, folks thinking about preparing their fields, working fields. It's been very dry. I think that's had a lot of effect on local dove fields in ways that we're not used to. We're used to getting rain of some summers, but it is so dry right now, particularly around my home and most of us. It is so dry. When they're cutting corn fields, you know, you have that period of time, everybody knows, when the corn gets cut, there's corn that falls in the field, and of course that's food available for doves, and it spreads doves out. Typically, after a time of rain or two, that corn sprouts. Now that food's not available, the birds flock back to fields where you've got planted sunflowers, or you're scattering, you know, you're cutting corn, bush hogging, to attract doves, and so they get back in your dove field. But this year, been a little different. Corn's not sprouting. I'm seeing a lot of doves on corn, which typically hot weather, you don't see them on corn as much. They love sunflowers, and they're going to be in sunflowers, but they're also on corn right now. So if you find a cut cornfield, if it's been dry, a lot of that corn, if it may, had a real small kernels and the combine can't get it all, it scatters it everywhere. And I found a lot of waste in just normally where people have been, you know, combining corn, and that is legal to hunt over,
uh-huh.
You know, as long as it's been farmed correctly. So that's kind of where we find ourselves in dove season. Of course, your probably favorite animal of all time, the season opens up, you know, this coming weekend.
We're talking gator?
We're talking alligator season opens up September the 14th. On Saturday the 14th, gator season opens up.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Here we go. So, second Saturday is Saturday of September to the second Saturday of October. That's how it works. And so this year it falls on September the 14th at noon. We'll run through October the 12th. So the next time we talk, Phil, I'll get some I'll see what we've been hearing. We'll look online and see what's going on as far as gators taken in the state. Remember, for folks who may want to know what's the largest gator ever taken, we don't keep records of that. A lot of people are surprised by that. We try not to make alligators into a game. They're not a game animal. Try not to make them a trophy in that regard, because this is a control season. The alligator hunting season is simply there to help control nuisance alligators. That's what it's there to do. It's there to remove excess gators, just like our nuisance, our in resident goose season, which is also in right now in September, first 2 weeks of September, is there to remove resident geese. It's the opportunity for golf courses and other places to allow hunters come in early in the morning, maybe take birds and under a safe, you know, setting. Of course, every golf course can't do that, but a lot of them, it's in the country. They have farm fields nearby. It's a great time for hunters to get on some birds and help control your neighboring problem with geese.
Let me go back to gators for a second since you brought it up. Let's talk about a couple of
things. I knew you would. Go ahead.
Well, it's always one of my favorite topics. So any new rules this year about hunting gators as far as limits or anything like that? And number two, what are some of your reminder warnings to people who want to go out and hunt gators?
All right, so number one, on the gator hunting front, the rules haven't changed. You're going to get one. If you're drawn, you get one tag. So you get a tag. You have to pay $100 for the tag once you get drawn. It's not what it costs to be in the draw. If you're drawn, you can take other people with you. So even if other people haven't gotten drawn for a gator tag, they can be in the boat with you.
Uh-huh.
They must have a hunting license, a state hunting license at a minimum. They can help you with the hunt. But you got to have a tag in that boat. And the person, you know, so others can assist you with the hunt. They can help. They can help reel and whatever. But yeah, they've got to have a state hunting license. A lot of people do that because everybody didn't get drawn every year. So a lot of people get together and they hunt together and everybody has a fun time, you know, whether they're running the boat, helping pull for a minute, whatever. But the main rule that everybody has to remember is you cannot shoot gators with a gun. Off from a distance, like a rifle. You have to take them by hook and line. So that's typically or with an arrow, a bow. So those are ways to get them. Hook and line's probably the most popular. Some people will stick them on the arrow with a fishing arrow and then hold on and basically wear the gator down and reel them in. But you cannot dispatch the gator until he is up in your, quote, possession. Possession is next to the boat, and you have control. And then you can dispatch him with a handgun or a bang stick. We've talked about what the bang sticks are.
Bang stick.
Yep, no long pole with a bullet in the end of it. No bang stick.
Boy.
And that's placed at the base of the top of the head there. And there's this, you know, there's certain spots on the gator that are more susceptible to bullets, and I've told those stories many times, and I will tell you this. As an officer who's worked 27 years in the state, and I have had to take a lot of gators in my career, I will tell you that, you know, do not use hollow points. Use a solid core bullet. Use a hollow point, it can flatten up on their skull. And that's happened to me before. Gator woke back up. Do not use a hollow point bullet. Use a solid core round. Basically, a wide cutter or a target load is sufficient. That actually works better than a hollow point. Do not use a hollow point. Just a little word of caution there. So, also, when you get the gator up to the boat, be careful. They do have teeth. And they don't want to be pulled in the boat no more than you want to be pulled in somebody's, you know, out of your house and thrown into a boat. So, just be cognizant of that. Be careful. Keep your hands away from the mouth. And, you know, and make sure when you dispatch that gator, you give time for that gator to die before you pull them in the boat. Because when they're still alive, they can thrash around and hurt somebody. So pull them along next to the boat after a shot is completely fine. To drag them back to the landing, and you put them in the boat. Make sure they're dead before you put them in the boat. Plenty of people put them in the boat, and that thing starts thrashing around. Somebody gets knocked out, hurt, and their tail is very, very powerful. So that's just a few fun, quick facts on gator hunting. Remember, again, that season opens up this Saturday the 14th and will run through October 12th. It opens at noon and will run through noon on October the 12th. So if you got lucky enough to get a tag, those tags got mailed out. I think last week I saw them get mailed out, so you should be receiving a tag. If you did not receive a tag, you can always contact us at DNR, and they can help you out with that.
What particular parts of the state are you expecting gator hunting to be the heaviest? Particular river, or particular basin, or where?
Right. So obviously the upstate is not a heavy area.
Okay.
We don't have a season up there. The Midlands, upper coastal, lower coastal, is where we have most of our season, where you get most of your bigger gators. Lower coastal is a favorite for a lot of people. However, the Midlands around Lake Marion is an area that works and it has good gators too. And people have done very well. I think traditionally, though, the canal on Santee between the lakes has been where the largest gators have been taken, if I remember right. A lot of people take those into 301 deer processing, and Facebook will be lighting up with all their posts on the gators that have been brought in there. But I think the canal has been traditionally the area where the largest gators have been taken. So anyway, that's the main portion. Again, we have four units, really. I misspoke. Midland, Southern Coastal, Middle Coastal, and the PD. Mm-hmm. So I said Upper Coastal, but I meant PD. PD, I don't know. I don't think the PD is where your biggest ones have been taken. Typically, I think really the Midlands to Middle Coastal are probably your two big areas. But again, you never know what might pop up out there.
How about the Wateree? Not the Wateree. I'm sorry, the Waccamaw. The Waccamaw.
Waccamaw will be on PD, the PD area. And there are some gators there. I'm just talking about traditionally where large gators are seen. Typically, the bigger gators on the coast and the Midlands area, particularly around Santee Cooper area, Santee Cooper Lakes. Those are where your bigger gators are.
Uh-huh.
Because, again, good habitat, good food sources. Same thing in the marshes on the coast. You know, most areas on the coast, though, are so privatized with some of the great marsh areas that those are taken care of with private land tags anyway. They're not open to the public on public water. So, again, your biggest opportunity is probably in the Midlands more than anywhere.
What kind of returns are you getting so far on deer season around the state? How is the harvest? What are they finding out there? Yeah.
All right. So, again, deer season right now opening game zones 3 and 4, only open to buck only at this time. Does will open up on the 15th. The 15th, of course, coming up this Sunday, the first opportunity to take a doe. Typically, it's so hot, not a whole lot of pressure, not a whole lot of success, but there's been some really cool temperatures this week. I went Sunday evening, I think I counted in one area I was at, three bucks, seven does, and four fawns. The other issues, you see a lot of does and fawns right now, which is why we wait till September 15th before we allow people to take does so they have time to wean the fawns. But in South Carolina, you will see fawns after that date. So anyway, somewhat. But typically by the 15th, most have been weaned. But with this cool weather, I did see myself, I saw a buck running a doe on Sunday evening, which is really early. I mean, it's the first week of September, and here we go. There's a buck running a doe. If it gets cold and starts cooling down, every time those bucks get antsy, and they'll run a doe. Now, that doesn't mean we're getting into a full-fledged rut, but it does mean they will run out there and check things out with a lot less care and be a lot less careful. So you might catch a little bit of that right now. And so in these cooler temperatures, take advantage of it. Again, because it's been so dry, I have noticed the mosquitoes are not near as bad either. Now, that depends on where you are. If you're around a swamp, you're still going to have mosquitoes even when it's dry. But on dry land out here in your farm fields and the woods, it's been very pleasant mosquito-wise and with the weather this past week. So I hope folks take advantage of it. If you're in game zone 3 and 4, take advantage of that and try to maybe take a sit for a while. Enjoy a good sunset or maybe a nice sunrise and see what the creation has for you this week.
What happens if you accidentally take a doe before the deadline?
Well, Phil, what happens when you accidentally pass a cop going 75 and a 55?
I go 80. I keep going. I step on the gas, hoping he's taking a nap or something. No.
You get a ticket sometimes, even if you didn't mean to.
Uh-huh.
I've had plenty of people during my career to make that mistake, and they would call us and let us know.
They will turn themselves in?
They will. I would rather you call me and tell me, because we can take care of it a lot better than find out and you try to hide it.
Mm-hmm.
Being honest always helps. And just here's the thing about that. I made a mistake. All right, so what does it take to make that kind of mistake? One of a couple things happens. Number one, you rush the shot. You saw something brown, you pull the trigger. That's really scary because you need to properly identify your target. You always hear me talk about identify your target, know what's beyond it, in front of it, before you take that shot. So if you take a doe by accident, you either couldn't see well enough to determine it was a doe, or you took too quick a shot. Or the doe walked behind the buck. And those are all great excuses. However, taking your time on a shot, not rushing the shot, making sure the animal you're shooting, if it's a buck, there's not another unintended animal behind it, is important. That's patience and placing a good shot. Now, other than that, most of the time, people wait too late. It gets dark again.
Mm-hmm.
They can't see. They can't identify. Deer start shuffling around a corn pile or in a food plot, and they get lost to which one's which, and they just take the shot. If you do that and you shoot a doe, that wasn't the best choice. And sometimes you have to pay for those mistakes. I don't know how else to better say that because I don't want to miss that point. If you make a mistake like that, and it's because you rushed the shot or you just took a shot in the dark right now, that's not a good thing, because you weren't identifying what that deer was. And every year we have accidents or incidents occur when people take shots like that, when we've had people get hurt because hunters have shot other hunters in low light because they did not take time to properly identify. They shot movement in a dark spot in the field. And that is a recipe for disaster. Take your time, identify your target, know what's in front of it and beyond it before you take the shot. Particularly right now, when it's bucks only, you want to make sure that the deer you're intending to shoot is the deer you shoot. So that's the best answer I can give on that. As we get to this Sunday, people begin, sometimes we'll take shots late, because they say, well, if it's a doe, I'll tag it with my doe tag. And that's okay. But I go back to that thought for a minute. Your shot should always be one well thought out. Think through it. Know what you're shooting when you pull a trigger. Make sure it's a deer. And if it's a buck, make sure it's a buck.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's a doe, make sure it's a doe. It just takes some identifying features. Remember, bucks are always bigger than does, and that makes typically, this is another good discussion to have, how do you tell the difference? Well, button bucks and does. I hear that all the time. I shot a button buck by accident. Lots of people have done it. I've even done it in the past. But typically, it's when I rush a shot. If you look, a doe, a good mature doe, has a long face. button bucks have a short, stubby face. And typically they're going to be a little bit bigger than what's around them, but they have a short face and blocky face, which is what the male, what a buck has. They have buck characteristics, even though you can't see those little bumps on the head sometimes if you're taking too far of a shot. Does have that longer face. Bucks typically are going to be bigger. They walk different. And I don't know how to describe that on the radio other than to tell you that bucks typically walk kind of stiff-legged. And they walk in the field, they walk with a little bit different gait. Mm-hmm. They don't prance around. They walk, and they got kind of a they got a gait to them. And when they walk in the field, it's kind of like the top stud. They walk in the field, and they're taking very determined steps. As they walk, they're looking. Does a lot of time kind of prance, jump around. Bucks don't typically do that. They walk. Take the time. They take very determined steps. That's just been my observation through the years of deer hunting, taking some really nice bucks. And from a distance, you can always kind of tell when that buck steps in the field just by the way he sits there, the way he sits on the edge, the way he's looking. And then we start taking those steps. Before you even see that rack, and typically if it's a good buck, you're going to see his rack anyway. That's going to stick out. But those are things to look for, and if you're not a seasoned deer hunter, it's okay. It takes time to learn those things. But that's why I say, if you're not sure, don't take the shot. Wait. Wait. It's not worth a bad shot rushing that shot to miss or make a bad shot. Wait and properly identify that target. Always a good idea.
Always err on the side of caution.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
What is the penalty? So, what is the fine if you make that mistake?
Illegal doe? I think illegal doe is around $170, $175.
It's worth being sure about before you end up reaching into
absolutely.
Your pocket.
Absolutely. Fine goes at $465, too, $470.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Take your time. I know I had several phone calls over the weekend about public dove fields. I want to mention that before we get off the show, and then we have about a minute left.
Yep.
Public dove fields did not open this year until Saturday. They will open again next Saturday, this Saturday coming. Those public dove fields are only open after 12 o'clock. A couple of good ones out there I haven't heard about in Richland County. Of course, the Love property came out 3 years ago. It was the number one dove field in the state. We've had some struggles with some dove fields this year with just crop failure with dry weather. A lot of good hard work put into them, but crops don't grow when it doesn't rain. So kind of, you might want to do some quick research on your fields before you go out there, go take a drive, check out a field, see what the crops look like, look at some birds in the field. Draper's always been a favorite. Santee Dam, the Toomey Fields in Sumter County. And then, of course, across the state, many different fields out there. But Draper always comes to mind. It's always been a good field. And Draper's up north of Columbia. But anyway, take time to kind of scout your fields maybe this year, particularly with the way crops have been, so that you make sure you're going to the best field you can.
Sounds like sage advice, Major. And we're going to wrap it up in our last 30 seconds. And any final thoughts for you as you send people off into the fields this weekend?
Absolutely. Always make sure you target what lies in front of it and behind it. If you're in a dove field, know your zones of fire. Know where you're shooting. Know where other people in the field are standing so that you don't shoot in their direction, and never shoot at a low bird.
We thank you. We hope you have a great week. I imagine you'll be out in some fields somewhere, huh?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Enjoy yourself. Be safe. Happy hunting. And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much. There you go, Major Billy Downer. Great stuff from him as you get ready to go hunting this weekend. If you're not going to football, you're not playing golf, you're going hunting. Might get a little wet because my paid-for app says there's a good chance of rain coming up this weekend, maybe starting tomorrow. That will do it for Sports Talk. Appreciate it very much. Back with you tomorrow night. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Josh. And we'll see you tomorrow.